And my rule is like, if an animal can kill you,
turn your back on it.
You need to know if you're going to die. Look at it now.
You don't want to. And here's the thing. You don't want to see your own death coming through a cell phone screen. Scotch. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 101 of Coffee with Butterscotch, the game dev comedy podcast, Butterscotch Shenanigans. I'm Seth, and I'm the games programmer.
I'm Adam. I'm the HTTP request authorizer.
I'm Sam, and I'm the VEC deck.
Nice. I'm not sure what that means, but
like
I like
it. It's like a pec deck for vectors.
Oh.
What's a pec deck? Oh, like the exercise equipment.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can juice your vets.
Mm-hmm.
Get flex those swole. Also, today is June 6th, 2017. Before we start, we have a warning. Anything could happen on this show. There's going to be some bad words. So if you don't want those, get out of here.
It's also 6-6, which is two-thirds of the devil's number.
Two-thirds of the devil.
Yeah, so watch out. Two-thirds of a devil. Something coming at you.
Something a little bad might happen today.
But it's just two-thirds bad.
Yeah. It's two-thirds bad. It's going to be so, one-third fine.
Yeah, so when something bad happens today, be like, that could have been 50% worse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because as we all know, three-thirds is 50% more than two-thirds.
Which is really confusing.
It is confusing.
I'm going to be honest.
So yeah. Every time you're using percents, you should always just step back and think, this probably doesn't mean what I think it is. It's very confusing. Yeah.
Whenever you're thinking about percents, just think, I'm wrong. Yeah. I'm wrong about this.
Fractions are hard.
Fractions are hard. Percents are harder. And it's even harder if you mix them.
Although, the one that drives me the craziest is when people say something like, it's twice as slow.
Well, think about this.
Like, what
the fuck does that mean?
Think about this, though. The opposite of opposite of two-thirds is three-halves, which is 150%.
I mean, right? I know that. That's true.
Right? So two-thirds times three-halves?
What do you mean the opposite?
It's the inverse, right?
It's not the opposite, but it is the inverse. The opposite would be negative two-thirds.
Yeah. Mm.
Slippery.
No, the opposite would be G. That's the true, opposite of two-thirds. Right. All right. So let's get into the news. The news is this week, some things happened.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about it. First thing, we got over 1,600 ratings on the Shenanigam.
Yeah.
Is that as in like 1,600 person checkmark thingies or like, because each one has multiple ratings too. That's like five categories.
We had 100. So the Shenanigam, just to recap, the Shenanigam was a game jam that we threw together last weekend, a couple weekends ago. And it was to celebrate 100th podcast episode. And we got 132 game submissions in the Shenanigam, which was super cool. Mm-hmm. But even cooler is we opened up those games for rating so that people could get feedback about how well they did. And they could kind of see just where their game landed sort of in the hierarchy. And we had categories like balance, fun, weirdness, graphics, music, stuff like that.
And so, graphics.
Graphics. Yeah.
Please graphics. Pronounce it correctly.
And so in order for a rating to be counted, you had to rate every category.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to a game, you check all the boxes, you say how good it was in every category, that counts as one rating. And so there were over 1,600 ratings,
yeah.
Which means on average, any given game was rated something like 15-ish times.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Wild.
So everybody really took it seriously.
Yeah,
and made it awesome. Some people I probably went through and tried to rate every game.
I know some people definitely did.
And there was also not a Twitch streamer, but a Mixer streamer, which I don't know what Mixer is, but I think it's like
just Twitch.
It's a streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
And they are still to this day playing the Shenanigam games because they put out a schedule where they have like a 12-day schedule. Every day they're going to play, you know, 10 to 15 Shenanigam games.
Awesome. Yeah. I want this to be impossible for them next time because we have so many games.
There you go. Step it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the goal is to get so many games that they can't finish by the next Shenanigam. And yep. Then they're just in a perpetual.
Our games will blot out the sun.
They're just in a perpetual hellish whatever, just treadmill of game playing. So that's pretty cool. We're really excited.
We looked at a few of the top sort of crop of them, and I think we'll probably be putting a video together sometime in the end of this week or beginning of next week, which is just a playthrough where we get to go through and dive into a bunch of the top rated games and see kind of how they fare. There's a few of them that look really cool, which I'm really excited about. So
yeah, and also of course the rating was part of our own selfish motivation of we don't unfortunately have time to play every game,
correct?
But we wanted to do a thing where we make a YouTube video and kind of show some of the cool games that came out of this thing. But in order for us to figure out what games were the best, you know, it would just take a really long time to play through them all and men make judgments like that. So we offshored it to the community to figure out which games were the most, you know, polished and everything like that. So we're going to grab, yeah, the top whatever, make a little cool little video out of it. Fun. Also, we have been working on our next game, which came from the Shenana Jam. It's internally being referred to as Snuppies. The original name was Snuppy Wrestling. We don't know what the final name is going to be.
Probably not that.
It's definitely not Snuppies. But we're also kind of doing a little bit more of an open development model for this thing, it seems like, just because of the fact that it came out of the jam, which means we can't really keep it secret, you know, because it's out there. And so we've actually made the patch notes publicly accessible, which is also
the bit.ly link for it.
Yeah. bit.ly/snuppies patch notes.
Nice. All lowercase?
All lowercase. Okay. Yeah. All right. And that's also the place where we are sort of, we are dumping our design repositories. So when we come up with ideas that we want to put into the game, you know, those are going into there. You can also see all the things that are on deck, the things that are currently being worked on. And so it's just a Google Doc that we're just kind of actively updating, but I don't know. It's
yeah. If you're interested to see how the sausage is made, then go look at that.
Yeah,
and you might wish you hadn't seen it.
Yeah. And so we treat every sort of every day basically as a new incremental version of the game, and so you'll see on our patch notes, you'll just see, you know, version 0.0.5 with a date on there, and then you'll be able to see what changes went into the game. And so it's already departing pretty significantly from the jam version, and it's only going to continue to do so. And we're also really taking advantage of our new skeletal animation tool or toy or whatever we want to call it to overhaul all the characters and make some really cool, just totally bizarre things.
Yeah, so the first deck that we're building out is this really aggressive playstyle deck, which has a lot of sort of retaliation style moves in it. So things that trigger when one of your buddies gets hit by something, the buddy will retaliate and do something either to players around them or to the main player themselves. Or things like you know, the Dying Wish concept or Death Rattle from Hearthstone, which we call Last Breath. So if they die, then they do something terrible also. So it's this really aggressive feeling deck, and the sort of vibe of the creatures that go with it are what we refer to as horn squooshes. So
yeah,
there were some weird combination between like a gel and a crab and lots of pokey things, and they for some reason oftentimes just hold their eyes.
Yeah, they've got an unusual relationship with their eyes.
Yeah,
I mean, where else are you gonna put them? You know, you don't just want to leave them laying around.
Aren't we all just holding our eyes?
Yeah,
yeah. With our eye socket hands.
My favorite character so far is Sam and Tief are coming up with these character concepts, and then they're like, "Here we go. This character is like it kicks things. Okay, and it's literally a foot with an ankle." And then a hand on top of the ankle holding an eyeball. And they hand this off to me. And I'm like, how am I supposed to animate this? This doesn't have a lot of
parts.
I got it, though.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
It's like a weird floppy spring snake.
No, it's like the lamp from Pixar. That's actually what it looks
like.
Oh, yeah.
So when it jumps, it kind of like bends forward. Yeah. And then like whips its head back and flips itself up.
Can't wait to see if it kicks up and across the map.
Yeah, so to make it kick things, we'll have to do a backflip thing. And the other fun part is in the jam game, when your characters steal a Snuppy, that's like the goal of the game is to steal Snuppies. When your characters stole a Snuppy, the Snuppy would just kind of be drawn on top of their head because it's a jam game and, you know, whatever. Yep. And so now we had to make sure that with these more elaborate animations that the Snuppies draw themselves in the right place. And so now the Snuppies have like a carry point that they get sort of attached to on the character. And so it's especially funny with this character that's like whipping its head around because the Snuppy gets like stuck to its head. And then when it's like whipping its head around, the Snuppy is being whipped around with it. And it's pretty exaggerated and hilarious. So, so we got all kinds of cool stuff. Yeah. If you want to keep an eye on that,
are we posting any, you know, GIFs and stuff publicly or what are we going to do?
I don't know. We got to figure out because we've been keeping things pretty under wraps for our other game project, our bigger game project.
Code name, whatever we said the code name was.
Yeah.
But it's brunch, I think.
Is it?
It's been a long brunch.
We've had many mimosas.
Yeah, we're all messed up on mimosas. But I think I don't know. We're keeping pretty open on this one, and we do have a Snuppies channel in our community Discord as well. Mm-hmm. So you know, we're just gonna be talking about it. Yeah, whatever comes out. I guess
we may do some devlog stuff, I think, later on once we get a few of the visual changes done.
Yeah, once it's a little more stabilized. So it looks a little more.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, we're still actually very much in flux as to how it's gonna turn out, and so like whether or not the big discussion today was whether or not there will actually be cards.
Yeah.
So right. Literally everything's on the table.
Everything's up for grabs.
So things are very wibbly wobbly right now. This is the early stages of development. So the problem we had with the Crashlands is actually that by talking about it so early, so many articles that came out around launch time referenced the stuff from our original blog post.
Mm-hmm. But it was usually just the images. People would take new updated store descriptions and stuff, and then they would just search for Crashlands. Well, the first images we ever posted were the ones that had the most views mm-hmm. because they were just on the internet longer.
Right.
So you Google Crashlands and you see this old ass GIF of outdated art with mechanics that don't exist.
Yep.
And then they'd be like, here it is. And they just put that in their article.
That's the one thing we're trying to figure out.
Yeah.
And then that propagates that image. That image gets more views.
Well, we could just use Snapchat because it's all temporary anyway.
Get a snap story going.
Yeah. Whatever that means. But yeah, definitely.
Yeah. That sounds good.
But then we'd have to do that.
Oh, yeah, so that's a problem.
That's
a problem with that strategy.
We could definitely not do it.
We could just not do it. All right, so that's kind of where Snuppies is or whatever the hell
really
it's called.
I'm really excited for this one.
It's going to be good.
We also realized that I think part of the secret to our magic sauce.
I know what you're going to say, but we have a question about this.
Okay.
So sure. We'll hit that at a moment.
Sure.
Okay. But also, speaking of people being interrupted, you have... You have an interrupted hiking story.
I do.
What does this mean?
Okay, so that's a fantastic segue. So, so last Saturday, my wife and I wake up and we're like, let's go outdoors. Let's go get some
out of doors
vitamin nature in our bloodstreams and
in your BSs.
And we Google around and we find there's this trail outside of St. Louis called the Lewis and Clark Trail. It's got tons of great reviews.
Are you sure it's not Lewis and Clark Trail?
Yes.
Okay.
And
the trail's a little harder to climb. It's
and the basic point is that after about 20 minutes of going through this trail, you end up on these bluffs and stuff because Missouri actually has a bunch of these like limestone bluffs and all this stuff. Once you get kind of outside of the St. Louis proper area, so we drove out there really excited because I haven't actually gone hiking in a while, and also like the shingles stuff kind of finally started dying down last week, so I'm starting to feel a little bit better. And get out there. And we pull up to the part where like we're almost to this place, which is very remote, out in the middle of nowhere. And there's like a traffic person sort of like handling some traffic. And then we see a ton of runners. And Diane and I both are looking at each other like, what was happening? And so we pull into the parking lot for this trailhead, and there's like 80 people there. And there's some music and there's like some big race flags. And we pull up and Diane is like, I don't know if we should go in there because I think they're running a race.
You should go
on
in
the
there.
Trail. And I was like, no, like we're here. Let's do it. I'm sure it's not going to be that, but it looks like they haven't even started yet. It didn't look like they started. So I was like, you know, they might be starting at like 9 because we got there about 8:20 or so. So I said, let's just get going. And so she's like, all right. So we throw on our stuff, start walking, and immediately get beset by mosquitoes. So just like, and we had bug sprayed up like crazy, but just.
Well, what kind of bug spray did you use?
I don't know. Just like the deep
woods. You want to use Axe. It really just kills the mosquitoes.
It keeps literally everything.
Everything will be dead.
And it's also best if you, because it's also super flammable. So if you just light it so that you're just on fire.
What you want to do is just douse yourself an Axe. Set yourself on fire.
Yeah. And mosquitoes. Then take a calm walk through the woods.
Yeah. So it's kind of like.
It's really good mosquito repellent.
You know how there's those candles, like when you burn them?
Citronella.
Yeah. So if you do that, but just on yourself, you know, just.
Yeah.
It keeps those mosquitoes.
Well, yeah, so apparently I didn't apply the repellent correctly. Yep. But so we're walking through woods getting eaten alive. And then about every 20 seconds, about 2 minutes into our journey, but every 20 seconds, a runner runs by. So again, like we're trying to get out in the woods to be away from humans. And then every 20 seconds, like clockwork, and the trail is narrow enough that
you have to get off it.
We actually now can't walk next to each other. So we can't even like have a conversation. While this is happening, we have to walk single file to make room for this endless stream of runners that every 20 seconds is blitzing by. And so after about 10 minutes, it's like we're walking in and I think both of us were hoping that it was going to stop or something.
It's like a weather event.
It just kept going.
It turned out it was a marathon.
So it did. So okay, so here's the thing. It's an 82-mile trail race, relay race. You can do it with a team of three or six.
Oh, so it's like people just running marathons back to back.
Basically.
Just
and,
all day.
And it takes the whole day. And so we go through, we're walking, and then at some point we stop because we had to like step off because there's another couple runners, and then we got passed by this Boy Scout troop of like 15 people. And I was just like, what the fuck? Like, it's like being in Chicago on the streets. So I was like, what is happening?
You're supposed to be in nature.
And so we stop, and then I like the cloud of mosquitoes like stops with us, and I see them for the first time.
And they're huge. And they're so just they're like the size of mice.
Making eye contact.
Like a Jurassic Park sort of a situation.
Yeah, you know, we're staring each other
or
down.
Fucking Jumanji. And yeah. They're like stabbing through your backpack.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm... Diana, look at each other, and we start, you know, trying to spray up on the bug spray. And at some point, I was just like, fuck this.
Yeah.
I didn't come here for this.
Just fuck this. Just fuck.
And so we book it back. So we take us like...
So you joined the race, basically.
Basically, going the other way. And of course, every
like salmon.
Now every like 15 seconds or so, because we're going against the flow, another runner.
Now you're hitting more runners.
My favorite part was every time they'd be like, oh, good morning.
And you're like, and fuck me. It was not a good morning.
Hey. And then we get back and then we were laughing because it was, you know, that, where's that phrase? An attempt was made.
Yeah.
Like that's what that felt like. Cause it took us half an hour to drive out there. So we were there for half an hour. Mm-hmm. Before we got enraged and left, mm-hmm. and it took us, so we drove so
you
more.
You didn't go for a hike, but you did make a hiking attempt.
Yes,
an attempt for a whole morning.
Yeah,
yeah. It's not about the destination. It's about
being interrupted constantly.
It's about getting harassed by people, mosquitoes. Yeah, you know, whatever. But I think it's fair to say that with the mosquito stuff, you did get a lot of nature.
I did.
Yeah. So
it was inserted into my bloodstream.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Sort of so, give and take.
Well, I mean, remember, like, nature used to be just a thing that killed people all the time, right? So I think the best way to get close to nature is to have nature just eat you a little bit because that's and truly what brings you back to
your roots.
It's a
good reminder.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, the best thing to do, I think, is to go on a paleo diet, you know, like mm-hmm. our ancestors did, and then just go get eaten by things.
Well, it depends on which ancestors you're talking about, though, because, you know, the paleo diet, people eat, like, lots of nuts and berries and stuff, but if you want to do, like an Inuit paleo, mm-hmm. you know, just go straight for blubber.
Yep.
Just blub,
yep.
Nothing but blubber.
But then also
all day, every day.
Get eaten by a beluga whale.
Get eaten by a beluga
whale.
Which
is a little tricky because they're not great at eating people, but, you know.
They have huge molars.
Yeah.
That's all they got. Do.
Yeah.
It's really painful.
You gotta really get yourself in there.
Yeah. Did you guys see that video of that sea lion grabbing someone off of a pier?
Yeah, it was great.
It's incredible.
pretty terrifying.
Isn't this interesting, though, how people talk about like the beauty of nature and being like, I want to go out into nature and stuff.
That's because we don't have it anymore.
Well, there's this park.
We get to take it in small doses.
Well, weirdly. And so in St. Louis there in the surrounding area of St. Louis, there's a tiger sanctuary. There's
what?
Like within an hour of the city, there's a worldwide bird sanctuary, which has like all the raptors in it. Of course, there's tons of huge eagles.
But how close? Velociraptors?
No, velociraptors.
Fuck. Okay.
There's a lone elk park.
Just so one elk is in there.
No, there's just a shitload of elk and then bison.
That's false advertising.
And when you go into the bison area, like the elk one, you can walk around and you know, like go on trails and stuff, but you have to be in your car and you drive over this gate. It feels like you're going into Jurassic Park. Like it is this huge iron gate.
But they they don't play Jurassic Park music on your way.
No, they definitely should. The opportunity. And then you see these things and they're just enormous. But the crazy, so we, Diane and I went to Lone Elk and we're walking around. And the elk are super chilled out for whatever reason. They just don't give a shit. So they're all just kind of sunning themselves in this huge pack right next to the visitor center. Mm-hmm. And of course, these are enormous animals.
Yeah, they could kill you.
They could kill you just if they wanted to. Yeah. You would die. There's nothing you can do about it. And
you can't punch your way out of that scenario.
No. And it blew my mind because people were just like strolling on up, like having a conversation. And then they would want to take a selfie.
Yeah, so
and my rule is like, if an animal can kill you,
don't turn your back on it.
You need to know if you're going to die, look at it now.
You don't want to, and here's the thing. You don't want to see your own death coming through a cell phone screen, you know, because you're going to be looking at that selfie and you're like, I feel like this elk is getting closer.
That's true.
That reminds me, I saw some video of a guy getting out of his car and running up towards a tornado. Like he was videoing it the whole time. And they turned it towards himself to take a selfie.
And then he died.
And then he ran back to his car and then like started driving. And like things are hitting his car as he's going. Oh, I was like, God. What kind of a fucking insane person?
It's weird now because like you can't. It's like if you take a picture of something, if you're not in it,
you weren't really there.
It doesn't count. You know,
well, I think
you got to make sure you squeeze your narcissism into every photo.
But I think it's true that it actually doesn't count because since everybody has a camera of where they go now,
you really can't tell. It's actually like thumbprinting stuff.
Yeah. Right? So this is also why watermark. I just don't take pictures of things because why not just enjoy them instead?
That's true. But anyways, like these elk, people are just walking up within like maybe 10 yards, which I guarantee you an elk could just jump and fucking kill you. Like it's just, it would be done. It'd be done in a second.
Yeah.
And they're just strolling up and then chatting loudly and then taking pictures. And then especially when the camera shutter goes off on a selfie phone next to a huge animal, it's like, ka-ching! Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Or
imagine if one of those phones started ringing.
Yeah.
Some kind of crazy music.
Oh, somebody probably used like a tiger noise as their ringtone or something.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. People have no fear.
Well, this was my story from our Squeaky Elk episode when we went to the Rocky Mountains at Estes Park and there was elk mating season and people would, you'd see like 20 cars pulled up because there was a male elk trying to attract mates. People would get out of their cars and they would form a circle around the animal to take pictures of it. Do not do this. These are murder machines.
They're murder beasts.
Don't surround it and make a lot of weird noises.
Why is it that people don't understand? Is it
because I think we're so far from nature? Like we always have walls. We always have a roof over our heads.
It can't just be that. Is it also because every time we're shown animals, it's like in the context of cute cartoons where they're your buddies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. People need to know.
Yeah.
You know,
There's a PSA.
These used to be...
Animals will kill you.
These used to be things that like entire tribes of people would spend generations perfecting how to murder these animals without getting killed in the process, you know, because you would. So just don't stay in your car. Just take pictures from afar.
Animals are dangerous.
Dangerous. Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Wonder Woman.
Saw that thing on Sunday. I'm just going to say, really damn good.
Yeah.
Do yourself a favor. Maybe do some friends and your family a favor. Go see that movie.
I know a lot of people were concerned.
You mean by leaving them and not being in their company or by taking them with you to also see the movie?
Just leave them behind. Go enjoy it by yourself.
Nice.
And I know a lot of people were concerned because this is DC we're talking about. And that was record has been medium as of late.
One of the funniest things I saw was there's a big article on the impact of the movie and it's just blown up all over the place. And it's talking about the biggest box office hit by a female lead, I think. And then and by director. A director as well. Mm-hmm. So it's just crushing a bunch of things. And so there's this article written up, I think it was on Polygon.
Maybe like $100 million this opening weekend or something.
Yeah, the first comment was like, I don't know how I'm going to explain this to my son. And then the next response.
I assume as a joke.
The next response, someone's like, what do you mean? And he goes, I mean that DC finally made an actually good movie.
The whole
you got me.
The whole world is
topsy turvy.
Yeah, so definitely go do yourself a favor. Go check it out. Really good. And I think also good. It's a good movie theater movie because watching movies like that with an audience that kind of reacts a little bit is a lot of fun. So we went on Sunday and it was packed at noon. We went to matinee and then people, of course, are reacting, clapping after the movie's done, all sorts of stuff.
And then taking selfies because they don't realize the movies can kill you.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. People. Don't take selfies at the movie theater.
Also, PSA, right there's not a post-credit scene. So don't wait around like we did when you have to pee really bad.
Yeah, it's not a Marvel movie.
It is
movie.
DC, yeah.
Yeah.
DC doesn't give a fuck about
it. Is there a word for that yet?
What?
For the scene that comes after the credits?
Just
getting tired of calling it the scene that comes after the credits. Or the post-credit scene. Yeah. We got trailers. That comes before.
It's credits bait, you know?
Which is weird because a trailer is a thing that comes after
it
something.
It actually goes behind.
So it should be.
Well, unless you put the cart before the horse.
Right.
Which is really what a trailer is.
So really, the thing that comes after the credits should be a trailer, and the thing that comes before the credits should be a horse.
Yep. Yeah, but it's now the other way around. So now I guess that part's the horse's ass, I guess.
So that's a horse's ass. That's the part.
Yeah.
And then, of course,
Wonder Woman did not have a horse's ass.
Yeah. The movie itself is a horse body.
Yeah.
There's a great horse's ass after the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, though.
There's like five horses.
I haven't seen that one either.
You see that one?
They have multiple horses' asses?
They got tons of horse asses at the end of Guardians.
You gotta sit there for like another movie.
Yeah.
You're just sitting there watching his credits.
It's like a herd of horse asses.
Interesting.
Just bouncing around.
All right, so let's get to some questions. These questions come from podcast.bscotch.net. If you want to get your questions on future episodes and shape the future of this podcast.
Literally.
Perhaps the world.
Definitely.
Mostly just this podcast, though. Go ahead and go to podcast.bscotch.net and ask us some questions.
But here's the thing, though. Butterfly effect, you know?
Yeah.
So you will shape the world in unknown and unpredictable ways that are enormous.
But you
will cause hurricanes.
What's going to happen is you're going to go in there, you're going to ask a question. It's going to take you 3 minutes to think of your question, type it, and then you're going to go run some errands. But because you were 3 minutes late...
You either will die now or won't die.
All of a sudden... You might die. So
wait. You just said hurricane, and that reminded me of the Curricane,
which is your Curricane gel.
This medicine, which is just a lidocaine gel that I've been rubbing on my side for the stupid shingles crap. It's called Curricane.
It numbs your whole everything.
And we were just spitballing the other day during lunch, and we came up with a whole marketing strategy about Category 5 Curricanes how. What a missed opportunity this is for this company to just take the name and own it.
Yeah, they really bungled that one.
Bungled it.
It also turns out you're not supposed to just put that on all the time whenever you want.
But I did.
Another PSA.
No, that's
what this is a very educational.
That's episode. What a Category 5 Curricane is. This is when you rub it on yourself 5 times a day.
Yeah, I don't care. Numb.
Then you can never feel again.
Oh, I'm totally fine with that.
You're so numb that if you got hit by an actual hurricane, you wouldn't even notice.
That's also how I feel about it. So when I have like a really bad cold or something, and I look at the max dose of you know,
you're
anything,
like,
I'm like, I could probably take twice that.
I could probably.
I would rather be dead.
If I die, I die. Right. But at least I went down swinging.
He went down doing what he loves.
Sam and I were talking about sleep problems. Oh, and man. I was like, there's basically two ways about this. If you're having a hard time sleeping, just you know, in general, sort of falling asleep. You know, one is you could do some research on sleep hygiene. Think about things like, make sure you don't stare into bright lights like a computer screen for an hour before bed. Don't do anything that's too mentally taxing for an hour before bed.
Just be bored as fuck.
Make sure to eat. Yeah. But then I was like, or you could, you know, continue to live life as normal right up until the moment you go to bed. Then you lay there for 3 hours.
Super aware.
Super aware, just becoming increasingly agitated that you can't fall asleep.
Yep.
And then the more upset you get, the harder it is to fall asleep. Mm-hmm. And then eventually you go into the kitchen, you pop open a bottle of whiskey, you take one huge gulp, and you go back to bed.
That is basically the story of my life, pretty much.
Apparently all of us have used this technique at some point.
Yeah. Sometimes it's the only way.
You're just like, my brain will not shut up.
I'm going to kill it.
I'm going to punch it right in the lobes.
To be fair, we don't do that often. Don't do that. PSA, don't do that.
That's like a once a month thing.
Don't do
that.
Yeah.
Don't rely. It does happen.
It's actually been a while that I've had to do that.
It does happen often enough.
It's only been a while because I've been taking Benadryl instead.
Yeah.
Which is just whiskey.
It's just whiskey.
It's just whiskey in pill form.
Really, all drugs are just whiskey.
Yeah. Just drink whiskey. Unless you're young.
But then you're not listening to this podcast because it's full of inappropriate humor.
This podcast is for adults over the age of 21. That's drinking age.
In the United States. You can be a different age other places.
Yeah. That's because it just takes Americans longer to become adults is all.
Just seems like it. Seems like
it. Okay. So anyway, I guess we were talking about questions. These questions, all right, podcast at beastcouch.net, blah, blah, blah.
Go there. First question. B-square.
First question comes from Digital Head. Who says
digital head?
Nice. Their body's analog, but their head is digital. It's really weird.
They must have a lot of dongles connecting the two.
Yeah, there's a lot of adapters. They get a lot of neck adapters.
I guess that's really what a neck is, though, right? It's just a dongle that
connects
your head to
your body.
It's
an adapter.
It's an adapter.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, because originally, like, the first humans just had their head just directly attached to their shoulders, but there was all kinds of compatibility problems.
Right.
And they
so you had to put a dongle in there.
Yeah, they had to, like, oh, shit, we got to finish hooking this thing up.
At some point, we might become too brave, though, and remove it.
It's, you know. Too brave? Too this brave. Was your thing, Adam?
There is.
I don't know if there is.
We have the courage.
Exactly.
To remove our necks. Because it turns out nobody wants a neck. No. All right. Digital Head says, I started making games centered around things I hate in other games, like level grinding or overly complicated puzzles, and turning these aspects into something I would actually enjoy playing. How do you feel about this practice?
That's exactly what I was going to talk about.
I know, that's why I had to interrupt you and tell you to wait.
Perfect. So we were talking about this yesterday because we realized that, so Crashlands, none of us actually liked crafting games.
Specifically, some of us actively disliked crafting games.
Yeah.
Does that mean you?
That's me.
Okay. Let's check.
And then when we
since
made...
Since the time we started making it, there were only two of us, I guess.
Yeah.
That's right.
So
when we made Quadrupus, then that one was, we were like, roguelikes are dumb.
Let's make one.
So let's make one. And the one thing we hated the most was being in a dungeon all the time. So we were like, and then we didn't want to have to draw walls.
That's why is the reason every roguelike in a dungeon?
Because you can't...
Tropes, man.
Tropes. So there's that one. And then Talfight was, we hated twin stick shooters.
Yeah.
Also Zelda, the first one, to be honest.
Yeah.
Not a fan. So
first Zelda, people are going to burn down our entire whatever. Everything.
Let them burn it.
The graphics sucked.
The graphics. Jesus.
So
the
graphics.
So, you know, we take these ideas of things that we hate. And the thing is, when you hate something, I feel like you have a more true understanding of what it is about that thing that upsets you than it was necessarily the case if you love a thing. What is the thing about that you enjoy?
If you love a thing, you clone it.
Yes.
If you hate a thing, you prove it new.
Yeah. So we realize it's actually our technique, and all of us actually generally dislike card games. And now we're making a card game.
I hate card games.
See?
Yeah.
So Adam's
we're making one.
Yeah. Adam's probably going to end up being like our lead designer on this because he's going to be like, nah. Yeah.
Well, I think the rationale is if most of your dev team isn't a fan of the genre of thing that you're working on, then if you get that whole group to enjoy this product by making all these changes to it, then you've made something that can reel people in. And mm-hmm. actually, we got this comment with Crash Hands. A lot of people would say, I've never liked crafting games, but for some reason, I just decided to try Crashlands.
Because we hate crafting games,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and I love the shit out of it. Yeah, it's because we took all the stuff that we didn't like about them, and we just didn't do those things. Mm-hmm. Then we did a bunch of other good stuff, too. So
it's a great strategy.
Totally recommend.
Yeah.
But, you know, so a lot of indie developers talk about make the game you love. Make the game that you want to play.
Mm-hmm.
Be the game you want to see in the world.
I think it's more
so we say the opposite.
It's kind of like if you get in a relationship with someone who you want to change, you know? It's kind of like that. We're like,
yeah, that's the best way to go about it.
Except that's a bad idea.
Right. Oh, no, it is. But I'm saying in the game's context, weirdly, it's a good idea.
Right.
Because you're like, I hate everything about you.
So this is another PSA.
another PSA.
Don't get with somebody to change them.
Yeah, because they won't.
Because they won't.
But if you could rebuild them from scratch.
Like a robot.
Like a robot.
So if you could marry a robot, you know, you can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just do that. All right, next question comes from Twister, but with a three. So twist.
Wait,
three
where the?
Twister? Twist. Well, it replaces the E.
Is it a three that's laying down? Oh, so it just looks like a W?
No, but it's a regular three in sort of normal orientation.
Are you sure it's not just a W?
That's okay. A three. Right, that's cool. Definitely
right.
A three.
Right, carry on.
But there is a W in there, which does look like a three on its side.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make sure that we're not.
It might actually be a three on its side, though.
I mean, it might be a three on its side.
With UTF-8, you never know.
It might be a three on its side. The three might actually be a W on its side. This is very confusing.
Maybe just everything is a three.
Everything might be a three on its side. Twist Threer says, I think you've said quite clearly that bundles were a terrible idea in previous podcasts.
Yeah.
What made you change your mind? So we did kind of touch on this
we talked about it a few weeks
back, mm-hmm. but basically we thought that after doing a bunch of digging, asking a lot of other people who did bundles, turns out they may just be separate markets.
But it's just not as clean as like bundles are bad, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because most bundles still are bad because most bundles are people trying to take advantage of developers.
Yeah. The Humble Bundle is good.
Humble Bundle is, to my knowledge, still like the only one is well respected and everybody agrees that it's
there are a lot of predatory bundles that just anybody who makes a game, day one, they'll come in and be like, hey, that's a nice game you got there. It'd be a shame if we put it in our bundle and ruined everything for you forever. Right. And then people are like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
So,
so there are still aspects of bundles that aren't necessarily a good idea, but you just have to know what you're getting yourself into and why you're doing it.
So Humble Bundle is good,
not always good, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like when you launch your game, you don't want to launch
Don't bundle your game on launch day.
Yeah, so then it's an important thing to keep in mind is that the general life cycle of Crashlands, you know, had been out for a year and some change by the time we did the bundle. So we're well past the...
We're deep in the tail.
Yeah, we're deep in the tail.
We're barely breaking even on expenses.
If we destroyed ourselves, it'd be fine.
It'd be fine.
Yeah. Because whatever.
Yeah. We'd be fine. So, and also, we have a question from Flabsy. Flabsy says, interesting talk about piracy last time. Also, bear in mind, I don't know when these questions were asked, so
probably could have put some dates on it.
This question might be 4 to 3 years old.
It could be.
Interesting talk about piracy. How do you feel about G2A? Is that a fair way to obtain your game?
Nope.
Considering the recent
backlash against them? This is also a bundles question.
This comes back to bundles, right? So G2A is basically a Steam key reseller.
So these are referred to as a gray market.
Yep.
Just so you know. And generally, you want to avoid things that are sold on a black market. Things that are sold on a gray market
are not technically breaking rules.
Right. Yeah. But it's still a gray market. So it should give you a hint that maybe things aren't quite above board in terms of what's happening there.
We should talk about why, though, right? And it's mostly because what's happening is some unauthorized third party. Because basically, there's a license to distribute stuff, right? That is a thing that exists. When we have a deal with the various stores that we have, like Steam and iTunes and so on, the agreement that we have with them, that we've signed contractually with them, is that they are allowed, they are licensed to distribute the stuff that we make. They have full right to do it and under the certain conditions that are applied and so on, right? When it comes to something like G2A, we actually have no relationship with G2A. They are not licensed to distribute our games. I'm actually not 100% sure it is even legal. I'm pretty sure it's actually illegal for them to distribute.
Maybe.
Games. They just, they started to put in some checks supposedly, but you know, So basically what happens is, and this is, gets coupled with bundles, because this is really where the main problem comes from. Because if somebody just like buys your game, decides they don't want it, and then resells their key somewhere, and they basically get their money back and something, like, who gives a shit? It comes out the same, right? But that's not really what people use it for. What they use it for is to try to obtain cheap keys somehow, either when a bunch of keys got leaked and stolen, which is pretty common, or when predatory bundles sell enormous numbers of keys for really cheap without any protection mechanisms that prevent somebody from buying 1,000 of them for a penny a piece, right?
Well, the big thing is actually from credit card fraud.
And credit card fraud.
Because you get the key when you make the credit card purchase before the credit card purchase is revoked.
Right.
And you just have the key. The key doesn't get revoked. And that's the thing to understand. It's like, and I think we do have, I think Steam does have the power now to revoke keys, is it?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They do. So, and Humble actually will revoke those keys also. So, well, and there's a real cost of that too, because it actually costs, and I didn't know this until fairly recently, and so probably our listeners don't on average, but if somebody does a chargeback because their credit card was stolen or something, it actually costs the store, whoever sold the thing, it costs them $15, no matter what the price was of the chargeback. So if you buy a game from us for a penny, right, out of something, and then it turns out you did it fraudulently, you didn't just take a game for a penny. Who gives a fuck? That doesn't actually matter, right? But you actually did cause us to have to spend $15 to do that. And this is actually why. This is. There are many reasons why things cost what they cost and so on, right? And there are many reasons why, when you look at like the app stores and stuff, the cut that they actually give to us seems low, you know, from the outside. And actually, in some ways, it is. But one of the things that they have to do is they have to eat the cost of all these chargebacks, which consume a really significant percentage of all game sales. And it's especially problematic and dramatic when the things are cheap. Mm-hmm. So if you're selling $60 games and a small subset of those are a chargeback, then it's not that big of a deal, right? But if you're selling $1 things and the same percentage are fraud, then you actually lose an enormous amount of your revenue just sending it to credit card companies, right? Because some asshole stole somebody's credit card.
Yeah, the thing to understand about G2A is they've sort of made these interesting moves in the last, I guess, year or so, trying to appease the developer community, who's like, very
could
annoyed.
You not?
Could you fucking not do this? Could you not provide a marketplace for this? So they've done a few things, and one of which that they've sort of touted around is this idea that if you register with them, so if we go and so our games are being sold. I think last time we checked, there like 4 keys of Crash Lands Up.
Yeah, we've done a good job of protecting our keys. So
So but if it's the case that your games are being sold there, you can actually go register with them as a distributor. In other words. Mm. It's the cart before the horse situation. So they have.
Well, it's a strong arm.
So like a protection racket.
Yeah. And then, but I think it's like you get 10%. So, which is hilarious.
Because the idea is supposed to be that you've already sold this key somewhere else.
Supposedly.
Is the idea.
Yeah.
And so now someone's going to resell it. And so you get a cut of that resale.
So they're going to keep 90%.
Correct. So this is where you have to understand that, I think, as far as G2A goes, it basically feels like a continuous slap in the face for developers, because they're like, no, it's cool. Like, you can just register to distribute with us since we're already selling your shit. And then
we're illegally selling your stolen goods.
And then we'll just give you 10%.
And we'll keep doing that.
Yeah.
But if you want a little bit of it.
Literally, the tiniest bit.
The tiniest bit we can provide. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there have been times where we've been asked to meet with reps at, you know, GDC.
Actually, I met a guy from G2A, I think maybe 2 GDCs ago.
Yeah.
But he had actually come from some other company because we knew him from some other company that we had.
Well, that's the only guy we've known.
Yeah. And it was funny because we started chatting with him, and then he then said that he's actually moved companies and was now at G2A. And I couldn't even hide the reaction on my face. And he was just like, we're trying to work on being better. And I was just like, whatever, dude.
Could you just not be bad? Better than, anyways.
Yeah.
That's kind of like when people say eating bacon increases your risk of getting this particular cancer by 0.5%. Mm-hmm. It's all relative, but, you know, being better from something that is basically garbage is not really a high bar to set. It doesn't really mean anything, right? Mm-hmm. So, anyways. Next question comes from Menelus. For the life of me, I cannot find the episode in which you discuss the various podcasts you guys all listen to. Or maybe you don't listen to them anymore because of the hot duck challenge. But could you refresh our brains on your faves?
Sure. Well, I'll refresh the hot duck challenge concept real quick. Mm-hmm. So the hot duck challenge is something we issued a couple, six episodes back or something like that.
Or like 15.
Was it?
It was a while back.
Okay. Anyway, so probably the whole idea is,
weird.
Yeah. All you do is turn off all your notifications on your stuff so that you can focus. It's basically the extent of it.
Yeah.
Pretty straightforward.
And one of the things we talked about was listening to podcasts. And Adam apparently has a habit of listening to podcasts basically constantly.
All the time.
So one of his big pieces for the hot dog challenge was not listening to this podcast while he was doing stuff. So
focus on the task at hand.
I haven't been listening to podcasts basically at all. I got YouTube Music because it comes with YouTube Red.
Yeah.
Oh. And so I just have a playlist that I've been slowly building that I listen to when I drive around.
I have a playlist that I didn't have to build because it's just a Danny Baranowski playlist.
Nice.
Yeah. Just, if you want a good playlist, just type Danny Baranowski.
Uh-huh.
Danny's playlist.
Well, so I've been doing that, but I did actually on the way into work today, weirdly. Did listen to a Radiolab episode about pistol shrimp making bubbles.
Oh, I heard that one.
Is that cool. Is that an older one?
It's older. Yeah.
It's an older one. Yeah.
So I don't really listen to podcasts.
I still do. I just now almost exclusively do it while driving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But now all the things that I have to like chores and stuff, I now try to just think about stuff while I'm doing instead. But I have changed my lineup out a bit so I can just kind of go through. I got them up on my phone so I can say. So, of course, the NPR podcast still, right? So, like, your This American Life, Radio Lab, that kind of stuff. I've actually been kind of, like, losing favor over some of them. Like, Freakonomics is starting to get, like, really wishy-washy and not actually... I don't feel like I'm learning things anymore. I feel like I'm hearing things that I should be arguing with, you know, which is less fun.
Maybe you've just gotten so smart from listening to Freakonomics.
That's possible. Maybe I now know too much.
You know too much and now you're dangerous.
So I still listen to my brother and me, but that also is taking kind of a weird slant where they seem to be angry at each other all the time. So that's getting a little weird.
I may
drop that one.
And they have started baking in all these other things. Like they have the Munch Squad, which is now they have a show within a show where they pick up press releases from fast food companies.
Yeah.
And go through them.
And then read them.
But it's always like a 15-minute segment of the hour where it used to be an advice show, and now they've inserted this other show in the middle of it, which...
Yeah, it's getting weird.
They only end up hitting like four questions per episode, and the whole point of the podcast is to answer questions.
Mm, yep.
So it's kind of getting weird.
But some phones I picked up, so Something True is pretty good. It's like, it's tagline or something like stories from the history or footnotes of history or whatever. And they just pick some really weird thing. And this guy, and so it's written by somebody, then read by somebody who has a great like reading voice, you know? And it's just like, it's just a very strange, goofy stories where they, you know, have some character voices and then make up some bullshit dialogue and stuff. And so it's, that one's quite fun and very enjoyable. And then the other one, then there's one more that I started listening to outside the ones that we talked about in the past, which is the Beef and Dairy Network, which I'd heard advertised before.
I haven't listened to it yet, but it's winning all kinds of awards.
Yeah. And conceptually it sounded incomprehensible. It's just like, cause the advertisement sounds like it's an advertisement for, you know, like a thing called the Beef and Dairy Network, which you then have to explicitly tell you, by the way, this is like a comedy show and this is a joke, right? But you have to, you then as the listener asking, how could this be funny? What even is this? And so at some point I was just like, I heard enough advertisements. Like, fine, I'll just give it a shot. It is weird as fuck and quite hilarious. So awesome. Sounds worth giving it a try. But yeah, otherwise it's the same kind of stuff that I've been listening to most of it. And then also Up First, which is a new NPR thing. So every morning it's 10 minutes and it's just like recapping really what Trump did yesterday, pretty much.
Because that's what the news is now.
That's just what the news is.
But it's very well informed. It's now the way that I keep up to date with the news because I don't want to deal with all the rest of it. And it is informed. And it also, like we talked about in a past episode, it's always better to get your news sometime after it happened because then smart people will have thought about it and put it into context for you. Right?
And you won't get all the garbage mixed in.
And so this is a really good way to do it, I think, because it's still recent enough that like you could make decisions based on it if you need to. And feel like you're up to date, but not so close to it that you're just listening to idiots on CNN ramble on about, we may have heard that this is true, but we don't know. Turns out we just talked to some random person on the street about it, and they said that this is what happened.
But if it was going to happen, here's what would happen.
Let's make a computer model of it happening.
Yeah, so I had been listening to Freakonomics. I don't listen to quite as many podcasts because I don't commute because I work in my own basement. So
that does help.
Like while I'm walking down the stairs, it just doesn't take long enough.
Right.
To get a whole podcast, it just take one step every 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But I had been listening to, there's a podcast called Make Me Smart.
Yeah, I started that one too.
Which is okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's a really steep demand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like, it's usually it's,
easy demand.
Well, it's kind of like what you were talking about where it's like, it's a lot of it is sort of news focused.
Yeah.
But it's after the fact, they've thought through the implications. They bring in experts to talk about, you know, at length about whether something actually, like most of the time what they're trying to figure out is, should this even be a thing that we care about?
Yeah, which really, I do appreciate. You know, I do enjoy
which
that
is nice. But yeah, I had been trying to find some good podcasts about philosophy. Still haven't found one that isn't full of people mostly throwing around weird like ism words that I don't have never heard of in my entire life. Mm-hmm. So I can't get into any philosophy podcast yet because they're too jargony. Mm.
If someone can recommend one for us.
Yeah, so hopefully somebody can. There was one that I was listening to that was great, and then they just stopped after 20 episodes. So that was...
Well, I mean, once you, you know,
they ran out of they ran out of all the philosophy. Yeah, they did all the
talk about.
They did all the philosophy. Mm-hmm. And there was one that I found that I definitely don't recommend, but I think it's worth noting, is I think it was called something like, This Week I Learned. And it's it was a single person, and basically they would compile all of these news articles about scientific studies. Mm. And then they would talk about all these amazing new things that had happened in science over the past week. Usually focused around like nutrition, dieting, you know, sleep, all the stuff that gets really, really sensationalized in the news. And
it was probably a bad science to start out with.
Yeah. The science was bad. The reporting on it was even worse. And then it's going through this next person down the chain of command who's interpreting a bad article about bad science badly. And so I listened to one episode of it, and then I was just like screaming the whole time. I'm like, oh no, like so many people are going to be misinformed by this.
So we got the butterscotch stamp of disapproval.
Yeah. So I think one important note
that
is
true that everyone's like, I hear these things and I start getting angry. I'm like, there are going to be thousands of people listening to this and just now being wrong.
Yeah.
About important stuff.
So, you know, as with all things, anybody can have a podcast as we are demonstrating. You know,
clearly,
whether they're qualified or not. So,
yeah.
You know, just be sure to be a critical thinker about the things that you're consuming. But otherwise, The Adventure Zone. The Adventure Zone is a Dungeons & Dragons podcast by the McElroy Brothers.
That one is still good.
Super good. It is, you know, it takes a while for them to put those episodes together because it's a couple weeks per there's a lot of editing that goes in. They really trim it down to make it really punchy and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's really good. And if you're not really into Dungeons and Dragons, listen to it anyways, because
it's fun.
It's just hilarious. All right. So next question comes from just some dude who says, if you were forced to get a tattoo of any video game character, who or what would that be?
Forced.
There's a gun to your head. There's two guns to your head. One gun to your knee and another gun just off to the side, just in case.
Right.
And you got to get a tattoo.
So there's four guns?
There's four guns.
So there are four people?
There's three guns to your body. One person is somehow holding all three of them.
Right.
Okay. They got a knee gun pointed at your knee.
They're probably using their knee to hold that gun.
I'm painting a picture of this question so that we get a better sense.
Very spooky.
Right. So there's a,
there's also a ghost holding a gun.
There's a ghost holding a gun. There's a person holding two guns to either side of your head, which is dangerous for them because if they shoot, they're going to also shoot through your head and shoot themselves in the hand.
Right.
But they don't even care because that's how crazy they are.
Okay. You're getting a tattoo.
Because you're getting this tattoo.
The question is like, if you were forced to get a tattoo of a video game character, I guess that's the question. What would you force on someone to get a tattoo of?
A video game character?
Right?
Well, yeah. Well, here's the question.
It sounds like we get to choose.
This is the weird part. Somebody is putting two guns to your head and a ghost is putting a gun to your knee and they're saying, you have to get a tattoo of a video game character.
What would you, if you're in a situation where you could essentially threaten someone's life and make them get a tattoo
but
of a video game character?
But still within a dome, they could choose.
No. I'm saying like, so you get to choose, right?
As the ghost?
So you're the ghost.
Wait a minute.
You're the antagonist in this.
Because I wouldn't, am I being forced to force this person to do it? Because I wouldn't.
Maybe
I
that's
wouldn't
what the ghost somebody. Is doing. Maybe the ghost has the gun to the person that has the two guns.
Wow. And this makes sense then, because you can't.
Now,
you
finally, can't this question makes sense.
Yeah, you can't discern the motives of a ghost.
No, you can't.
You know.
You also can't know if like how crazy they really
all right,
are.
So,
like,
so
really
just to kind of reframe the question.
Okay.
If a ghost forced you to force somebody to get a tattoo of a video game that you demanded that they get, what would you have them get?
I would make them get Kirby tattooed on their face. But like with his mouth open.
Oh, so that shit. Their mouth is now Kirby's mouth?
So like their whole face is just a big hole.
Oh, man. Yes. I would. So I guess there's a question of whether we can ask the person, you know, questions.
Are you, well, I guess what's your goal, though? Because my goal is,
well, I course, know is where
the most antagonism possible.
I want to know where you're going to get this tattoo.
You can tell them where to get it. I guess that you tell them where and what. It's kind of a question of like, what's the most hideous or embarrassing thing you could get? You could force someone to get tattooed on.
I just, you know what? For the irony of the situation, I would have them get a tattoo of one of the ghosts from Pac-Man.
Nice.
On their pec.
Just a pec, just like a small one. Just like a little.
Yeah.
Maybe you got a Pac-Man. Kind
of like upper chest area.
You get a Pac-Man that's approaching the nipple.
Yeah. Also, you know?
I think what I would do
like tattoo more nipples in between the nipples so that it looks like a chain of the things that Pac-Man eats.
Perfect.
Yeah. What I would do, because clearly this is a situation we just all need to get out of alive, right? So, so what I would do is I would force them to get, I would go back to the ghost. I would take like the Mario ghost or something, right? And tattoo that under where the two barrels of my guns are.
Yeah.
Because ghosts then get bound to the tattoo, right? Because now.
Yeah, you've locked them in with a
curse. And now I'm just going to shoot. Because now when I shoot, though, it's not going to actually go into the person's head. It's going to go through the ghost tattoo and into the ghost.
That's right.
Which is the only way to kill a ghost.
Yeah.
And then we would all be saved.
You got to bind it.
Done.
You got to, well, or you got
to bind it to someone's head.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a.
It's a, that's a,
it's a very tricky situation. Yeah. You got to bind it.
I hope those are small bullets and a big tattoo.
It would have to be.
Yeah.
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 But that, yeah, that's the only situation in which, you know, I think everybody gets what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also the interesting thing about it is that when you shoot through the tattoos and the ghost dies, the tattoos also disappear.
Yeah. Because it turns out they were temporary tattoos.
No, they were real, but they were just bound to the ghost. You know, so now when the ghost
dies. So they were temporary then.
Only if the ghost dies.
In the sense that they're ethereally bound to a ghost.
Yeah, but ghosts are normally immortal, though, right? So, like, if you don't actually kill a ghost, then it is permanent.
Is the ghost immortal? Because it's already dead. Yes. Can you be immortal if you've already died?
Yeah, immortal means living forever. I guess it would be...
It's being dead forever.
Immuerto. Immuerto. Where it is permanently dead. I guess that's true of everybody who dies.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I guess if you're permanently undead, though, because that's really what they are, right? Because they're still kind of a living entity.
They're dead, but somehow animated, basically. Right.
So they're inanimate.
But animated means to give life.
Inanimate objects. So.
It's an inanimate object. Yeah, that's right.
Inanimate. All right. So I hope that answers that question. That was a good...
Seemed perfectly clear.
Perfectly clear. Yeah. Koolaboola asks, what spoken language would you guys like to learn? Assuming you were magically granted 2 extra hours per day to do so by an underachieving wizard, who apparently has nothing else to do... And also can't just give you the ability to learn the language.
All he can do is provide some extra time.
But can somehow manipulate the fabric of space-time.
I don't know if he's
to extend the day only for you and no one else.
And you're only allowed to learn a language in those 2 hours.
Well, so this comes to the conversation that Sam and I had yesterday.
Interesting one.
About, we probably already do have 2 hours in the evening.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what else are you going to do?
Yeah. I think Chinese would probably be the one.
That's what I would do.
It's my wife's language, so that'd be good. Her family's language. I'm going there next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to make sure that I can talk to people.
Mm-hmm. And tell them to let you use chopsticks and not try to bring you spoons. That was my experience.
You know what would be? You know what you should do? You should ask for a second spoon and use the spoons like chopsticks.
Yeah.
You'd be like, I don't know. These were weird chopsticks.
whatever you people do.
I don't know what kind of crazy cultural thing you guys have in this region using spoons like using spoon-shaped chopsticks.
But, you know, but when, you know, when in Rome.
When in Rome, mm-hmm. use 2 spoons like chopsticks. Yeah, that
totally makes sense.
Adam, what would you learn? You would probably learn Chinese
I'd learn Chinese, yeah.
Yeah, you guys are both married to Chinese speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that sort of
makes sense.
Given.
Would you learn Marathi?
I mean, obviously, I would learn Portuguese.
Yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a couple countries where Portuguese is spoken.
Mm-hmm. Brazil.
So, Brazil.
It's a good place.
I think probably what I would
Portugal.
Learn actually.
Mm-hmm.
I would just go ahead and learn the universal language.
Yeah.
Which is the
so
one.
Math.
No, just like the actual universal language.
I think it's
just
facial expressions.
Yeah. Well, no, it's the one where you just read somebody's like thoughts by how they just do things, you know? So that
but it's got to be a spoken language. So how do you speak it?
You just always are speaking it.
Oh, shit.
Once you know it. You have to know it first, though, right?
I'd probably learn Hindi or Chinese.
Do you have to vocalize to speak? You know?
To speak?
I mean, no, because like after you said that, I could tell you were now waiting and there were just ellipses coming
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
But if you hadn't said it and only just sat there staring, it would have been harder to discern what kind of an answer you wanted.
Some portion of my language is spoken and some not.
Yeah.
So what if you could just become a master of the unspoken?
A master of body language.
Yeah. Because then you could just
walk into a room and you just give somebody a very particular combination of looks and gestures.
Yes, sir, right away. That'd be good.
That's kind of like my dog.
That is also what happens in basically every fucking story, like in a book. Somehow characters just communicate like an entire thoughts to each other just by like, you know, he raised his eyebrow in a way that indicated and then it explains.
Indicated that he wanted
process.
Me to put a gun to someone's head and force them to get a tattoo.
It was so the only way we would take care of this ghost.
It's possible we misinterpreted the intentions.
But it's also
the
case. So this is actually kind of a trade-off is when you become a fictional character, you gain the ability to perfectly read body language, right?
True,
but
yeah.
You also lose the ability to understand when it's important to give somebody meaningful information in order to further the plot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because as we all know, if you ever watch the show 24, for example, mm-hmm. that when it is the most opportune and most important time to tell information to the exact person who could solve your problem, you definitely don't do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because
not.
You can't trust them, mm-mm. you know?
Yep.
So then you don't do that. Then 14 episodes later, they find out while your life has gone to complete shit because you just didn't say anything because
mm-hmm.
you're a fictional character. And that's mm-hmm.
that's right.
That's the trade-off, mm-hmm. you know? All right. Next question comes from Adamus, who says, I personally hate it when I see reviews for games and they say stuff like, I really love this game, but... And then they give it 3 stars. Do you guys have any video game related peeves?
We're talking about game butts or we're talking about games? That's my first question.
Game butts.
The game butt. It's a 3 out of 5 star game butt.
3 out of 5 star game butt.
Could've done more squats.
I love this game butt. I love this game, but it's game butt.
Yeah, but this exact thing is a recurring joke in The Office where we'll say about how much we love something and be like, and then just follow it up with 1 out of 5 stars.
Yep. Yeah.
Because this happens all
best,
the damn
best
time.
Cookie I've ever had.
But actually this one bothers me a lot less than the one where somebody just gives it a 1 star and they say, this is fine, but if you do this, I'll give you 5 stars.
Yeah. When people believe that out of 10,000 reviews that they can hold a game hostage mm-hmm. by withholding one of their 5 stars and demand some new feature.
Who do you think you are? What?
And the problem is as a developer, like in some of these stores, you have the ability to reply,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's against the rules for you to just reply and be like, LOL, you know?
Yeah.
So you can't.
Is it against the rules? Wait, what are the rules?
I think if you're a little snarky, then
you can't be, you can't strip your privileges. You can't give snark to people. Yeah. So
but
somebody,
we don't use it anyway. So what if we just were snarky until we lost our privileges?
Yeah. So somebody's like, I like this game. Could be better if it was in 3D. Make it 3D. I'll give you 5 stars. For now, I'll give it 4 stars. And you can just reply and be like, nah.
Nah. Yeah, nah.
That'd be great. But you can't do that. I think mm-hmm. it's too snarky.
But I think, you know, there's people respect it a lot nowadays, I think, because there's
respect the snark.
Yeah. Because so, you know, with the fact that everybody's reviewing everybody constantly in everything now, it's like your Uber driver.
It's refreshing to have somebody just be like, I don't give a shit. Yeah,
I love when I'm going through like Angie's List to find a plumber or something. You know, mm-hmm. I love the ones where there's like, it's like all A's and then an F and there's just somebody complaining about something and mm-hmm. then the person comes in and just
destroys them.
Yeah. And there's like, actually this person did call, but then said all of these things that don't make any sense. And I was like, no, we can't do that. That doesn't make any mm-hmm. sense. And then they yelled at me because I said, I wouldn't do a thing that didn't make any sense. I'm like, I like this person.
Yep.
Yep.
Higher. Yeah. Anytime I see a series of positive reviews and then like a negative review mixed in, I'm always like, that person's just a dick.
Yeah.
Well, that's just an angry person.
It's an interesting thing too with the whole five, like the star system, because, you know, Steam has switched to this. And I think Netflix has switched to this as well now, where they just use the thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yep.
Because the reality is like giving something 5 stars means a different thing than just saying, yeah, this is good. Right.
Yeah.
And
so the question is really, should I watch? Because
do you need that level of detail?
Yeah, no, you don't. You don't need that level of granularity at all.
Well, because the way I always look at it is, when I'm looking at games, I'm like, if it's below 4 stars, I'm usually very dubious.
Yeah, exactly.
Because right? that's 80% on Steam.
Exactly, and that means it's not recommended. And they've shown that in one of those GDC talks we went to, basically the Metacritic score of 80 is sort of the break even point, or the break point between games that tend to do basically better by a margin above than the games below. Mm-hmm. And because basically what that means is 80 is 4 out of 5, which you're like, this is good.
That means 1 in 5 people didn't like it, which again comes down to, that's a small enough fraction now that those people might just be angry.
Yeah.
So
who cares?
Or just have different tastes, which also who cares?
So, I think it's or some thing. Combination of being angry and having different tastes.
But things don't have, ratings only make sense for things like, does it work?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How well does it work? That kind of stuff. But otherwise, it just all comes down to taste, and who gives a fuck? Because all you really care, because I don't think we need stars or anything. Like, we don't need to show it. We just need to basically say, which Netflix has started to do too. They actually put a little percent there of like how likely they think it is that you're also going to like that thing.
Right.
Which you can do just by letting everybody give thumbs up or thumbs down, see what you like relative to other people, and then be like, probably you will also like this. And that's all I want to know.
Right.
I don't care if somebody was kind of upset because they prefer crafting games and this crafting component.
Well, I also noticed that Steam, so they have they're constantly making storefront changes and stuff. And I noticed that I opened it up last night and they recommended a game to me that I definitely would never play.
Yeah.
And they were like, just because it's just, I have no interest in this particular type of game.
Maybe we should make that. Was it a dating sim? Let's get on that.
Yeah, it was Emily is a Way to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got nothing against it. I'm just not interested. So, and it recommended it to me because somebody on my friends list.
Oh, yeah. That's been doing that too.
Yeah. And I'm like, what? I have like 150 people on my Steam friends list. What makes.
And you're not friends with them because they play the same games you do.
They're my friends.
They're just your friends.
So, that's an interesting problem too. Is
I need to turn that off. Is there a way to turn that off? They have some pretty good customization in there.
Okay. I'm going to be turning that off.
Yeah. So. Because I noticed that a little while ago too. It was some just like shitty looking thing. And it said, oh, your friend, whatever, recommended this. And I was like, or play this or whatever. And I was like, I know exactly why that person would play this.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the next game that it recommended was like, we recommended this to you because you've been playing games tagged like this. Right. And I looked at it, I was like, shit, yeah. That's great. And then I put that on my wish list.
What was that? Because we got our reviews back from our course that we taught. Mm-hmm. And this is one interesting thing because they've, of course evals are a thing, right? So students are given the wand of power at the end of the course.
I guess you did rate your students also with grades.
We did.
Everybody rates each other.
Everybody rates, just like what you do nowadays, apparently. Mm-hmm. But we made it very clear when we told them to, we're like, okay, student, the course evals are up. If you could take 10, 15 minutes to do that sometime between now and the end of the course, it'd be great because that way we can know how well we did. But also just keep in mind, we don't care. And I remember the look on the face was like sort of,
we were like, just be honest. Cause
just remember, you actually have no power.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't care.
We were like, if you feel like we did a bad job, then just say so. Because honestly, like, we're game developers. We're not college professors. So we're teaching this course as an experiment.
My identity is not tied to teaching this course at all.
Yeah. So if you feel like we did a shitty job, just say so. Give us a bad review.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just like, okay.
Yeah.
It's a refreshing level of honesty.
This isn't your
career.
You can't get fired. You're not on it. You can't get. You can also can't go up a ladder. You just teacher.
It was just a thing that we did for a semester.
It is really fun when people don't have that power over you, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's very liberating.
People have the power over you that you let them have, or sometimes they just do have power over you, which sucks.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I hope that answers whatever the question was. I think it's all the time we have.
There's one thing that we forgot to talk about, which we should not now, but we can later.
Okay.
Which is a news item, which is that Steam Direct announced a price.
Oh, yeah. Well, just talk about it real quick. $100.
It's $100.
$100 dues.
What is Steam Direct? What's the point?
So Steam used to have Greenlight, where if you were somebody who had a game and you wanted to publish it but didn't have a publisher, didn't have a relationship with Steam, etc., then you could basically throw it out to the fans on Steam and be like, hey, you guys want this?
Importantly, it used to cost $100.
To per game originally, or to do it?
To do it.
When Greenlight was first announced for like the first, I don't know if they ever actually made it that way or if they just announced it that way and then backtracked, but it originally was going to be $100 just to put your game onto Greenlight. There was a huge community backlash. Everybody said, there's all these indie developers out there now who somehow were able to spend 2 years of their life making a game and still remain financially solvent,
save a dollar,
but then couldn't over the course, of 700 days of development, save a handful of pennies every day to get their game onto Greenlight. So that was the argument.
And then of course we ended up with a bunch of garbage in Greenlight.
So
there you basically go. The Steam Direct, they were debating between a minimum of $100 or a maximum of $5,000 to be able to just literally what you do is you pay the fee and you put your game on Steam. So there's,
which is
there's
how
no curation. Mobile does it a little bit differently, which is that mobile is like a one time.
All right. Yeah. You pay as a developer per year.
Per year.
But not per game, which as we said before, we think it should be per game.
So, and again, the reason is it's not to keep people, it is to keep people out actually.
It's to keep unprofessional stuff out.
So, the reality is that it's at $100 and probably it's going to do nothing. I'm not sure what the point is.
It's not high enough.
It's a low enough number that people can, if they're having a hard time coming up with the money, they can postpone their launch or something and come up with the $100. Or they can find a publisher who will just be like, yeah, we'll front the $100. No problem. Right. If you have in any way, a remotely decent game, finding $100 to get it on, to get it published should not be an issue. But I think that may just be true in general. Like if you're really determined, no matter the quality of your game, you can get the $100.
Yeah. Well, so. I think it will cut down on stuff that we see a lot in the mobile stores, which is like student games and hobby games and stuff that people just like want to put out and also put out thinking, well, like I can just do it. Right. And maybe I'll get lucky. And that's basically the strategy I think the vast majority of people publishing on mobile have is just, I made a thing. It is what it is. Maybe I'll get lucky and then put it out.
I will say you can still put your games up on itch for free. So if you're looking for a platform to just put something out there without the intention of it being a commercially viable product or it's an experiment or whatever, like there's still platforms for that.
Right.
I think it's just understanding the purpose of any given platform, and Steam is a commercial games platform.
Yep.
So,
and hell, maybe you can raise $100 by selling your game
on itch
and use that to, you know, put it up on. There's always a way. Like, you know, these things don't keep out people who really
are determined.
And I think it might still not keep out enough people who aren't actually determined, right? And just kind of like throw a little bit of money at it. But I do think this is better than the mobile model of just the yearly developer fee.
It is. And I think the truth is this does not affect us.
It doesn't affect us. It won't affect anybody but hobbyists and people who are doing this like really part time.
Right.
Or people who are just super strapped for cash, which again, that's going to be a rare person who's making a commercially viable product who's also that strapped for cash. So I don't know.
But in which case they can get a publisher.
Yeah, right.
So
there are ways.
Which doesn't cost you anything. And actually, if it's a good publisher, the publisher will also fund your development and do everything else, right? So there's plenty of ways. So our thought, probably nothing's going to happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I am curious to see just how it looks, though, just again, compared to mobile stores.
Well, we were like, oh shit, maybe we should put Quadripus and Talfight up there because it only costs $100 now instead of like 6 weeks.
Let's throw our garbage on.
I mean, yeah.
No, they're solid games.
It was a good game.
I think Talfight is not, it would need to be re engineered for PC because it has all these touchscreen controls and stuff like that. But it does open up the option for that. Mm-hmm. So that's about all we know.
Cool.
All right. So we'd like to thank our studio wrangler, Monique, who is back, and she put this episode together for us. Mm-hmm. We'd also like to thank our producer, Fat Bard, for making us sound decent.
Despite
our best efforts to sabotage everything. Last week, we laid our laptop on the microphone cord to Adam's microphone, which then caused all kinds of magnetic interference. Mm-hmm. But somehow, Fat Bard still managed to salvage the audio. So hopefully this time we fucked it up good enough that he can't redeem it.
It's a perpetual arms race.
Yeah. We'd also like to thank the rest of the Beastcatch dev team, Andy, Tifa, and Shur, for just continuing to kick ass and build cool stuff.
And chew bubble gum.
But they're running out of bubble gum, so they're pretty much just going to have to kick ass
now,
all day now. We'd also like to thank our community moderators who keep our Discord and forums running. And we'd like to thank our listeners, of course, you all, for coming back every week to listen to us talk about shit.
A little salty today.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's Tuesday.
Solid day.
So also, if any of you want to get more involved in the Butterscotch community, hop into our Discord server. It's at bit.ly/BSDiscord. We're in there a lot. Other people are in there a lot. We have like 150 regulars. So just hop on in. Also, we don't advertise this show, so we depend completely on word of mouth. So if you want to help us grow, tell your friends, tell your enemies, you know, if you hate the show, tell your enemies about it, you know, just throw it into their laps and see how much worse their life gets.
Yeah.
Then go ahead and hit up iTunes. Give us some stars, 3, 5, possibly 7 stars.
That'll help offset all those other lower reviews.
Yeah. Every little bit helps.
Gotta pull up that average.
Yeah. So thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.